Welcome back to the Armchair Trader podcast. And on the episode this week, we are going to be talking about thematic investing and specifically multi-thematic investing. Thematic investing is something when I started as a young journalist at the FT many, many years ago, wasn't really a thing at the time. People still thought about investing in terms of asset classes and geographies and things like that. Thematics only started to really turn up in sort of the mid to late 90s. Now we're on to multi-thematics. And to talk about it on this episode, we have Pierre Debrue, who's joining us from WisdomTree, where he's head of quantitative research. Welcome back on the podcast, Pierre.
Thank you, Stuart. Thanks for having me again.
People may be familiar with thematic investing already, but can you give us a quick overview of what you guys at WisdomTree, when you talk about multi-thematic investing, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, of course. So as you said, right, thematics, they're kind of new, but they're not super new, right? You were talking about late 90s, so still 20 years ago. But there has been a quite strong increase, I think, in terms of interest around thematics starting in 2015-2016, but there was a strong acceleration around COVID, right? And over the last few years, a lot of the discussion around thematics have been single theme. So around COVID, we were talking about remote working, we were talking about cloud. Of course, the last 18 months has been all about AI, but very much focused on single theme. And as we have more interest, we have more product that comes on the market, more strategies, and in this case, more themes. And so what we are seeing is more and more investors are starting to see that there is too many themes, too many strategies, too many choices at the end of the day. And while they remain very interested in thematics in principle, they are starting to think that they may need to delegate some of the decision around thematic investing, right? If you think about thematic investing, what are the decisions you need to take? You need to choose the theme you want to invest in. In the WisdomTree thematic classification that we are running, we have currently 45 themes. No one is going to invest in 45 themes, right? So you need to do the theme selection. Then you need to do the capital allocation to the different themes. So basically, how much weight for each theme do you want to invest? Do you want to give? Sorry. And then it's about what product, what strategy are you going to use for each theme, right? So clearly, there are a lot of decisions to be made. None of those decisions are easy. Most require quite a lot of research, quite a lot of time. And that's how we are seeing interest in multi-thematics rise, where investors say, okay, I don't have time to spend on all of those decisions around thematics. I want to delegate all of those decisions around thematics. I just want a one-stop shop solution, buy one product, buy one strategy, and get all my themes. And that's what multi-thematic is. And that's what we are trying to offer with our latest strategy at WisdomTree.
And just to clarify for people, we're talking here about ETFs, exchange-traded funds. Thematic investing has become a big area in the ETF space. Guys like WisdomTree, for example, have their, as Pierre has already mentioned, have a lot of different themes encapsulated in ETFs, which will track an index that's been put together to follow that particular theme in the market. And I guess from your position, looking at the thematics universe, the ETFs you guys have got, what have you been seeing that's been doing well there in terms of the fund flows and the performance, particularly in February?
Yeah, so as part of our foray into thematics, right, we launched 11 ETFs, 10 single thematic ETF, one multi-thematic ETF, but we also developed a lot of research to help our investors use those ETFs in their portfolio. And one of these research that we've conducted is to map out all of the fund, all of the ETF in Europe that have a thematic focus. We call that the WisdomTree thematic classification. And basically, we are tracking now north of 2,000 different fund and ETF that are classified in 45 themes. And so it allows us every month to put out a report that you can find on our website, where you can see flows, where you can see performance, where you can see AUM of the different themes. And it allows us to follow the space pretty accurately. So talking about February, like you were mentioning, the biggest flow we've seen was still in artificial intelligence. Almost 600 million of euro went into artificial intelligence just in February. Year to date, we're a little bit north of 1 billion going into AI. So that's still the main theme that is gathering assets in Europe. In February, we saw also quite a lot of money go into a theme we call Rise of Tension. But basically, it's around geopolitical risk, geopolitical tension. So obviously, Ukraine and so on. So we saw almost 200 million go into that theme just in February, which is quite a lot because AI is a big theme. Rise of Tension, obviously, is a smaller theme. So 200 million is a big percentage increase, right? If we look January and February together in terms of AUM, the second biggest flow driver was semiconductor. So semiconductor saw 300 million around in 2 months of inflows. So again, very much related to AI, obviously. And we've seen, interestingly enough, and that's a continuation a bit of the trend from last year, some flows going into nuclear. So nuclear energy. So we are seeing this kind of renaissance, a little bit of nuclear energy and energy transition materials. So miners, copper miners, lithium miners, these type of things. So we are seeing flows going there as well. If we look at the other side of the coin, which is outflows, we continue to see this kind of green fatigue a little bit where we are seeing clean energy, batteries, continuing to see some outflows. Year to date, but also in February. If we look at performance, in February, the best performer was blockchain. So we've seen a lot of performance on cryptocurrencies. We've seen Bitcoin reach a new all-time high in February. And so we see blockchain do very well as well. But then just behind semiconductors, so again, the AI wave is working on flows, but on performance as well. Something that may be more surprising maybe to people is the third best theme in February was China tech. So there's been a lot of negative headlines around China last 18 months. And obviously the economic data coming out of China is still not very good, but we are seeing some movement in China tech. So China tech gained 12%. In February, so that's interesting. But if we widen the scope a little bit for the year, so year to date, semiconductors, AI are in the top five, and then cybersecurity as well is in the top five. So what we are seeing is a bit of a widening of this AI wave to semiconductors, of course, but also now to cloud, to cybersecurity. So that's also interesting.
I know what you mean. It does feel like we're in a little bit of a, you know, another technology revolution similar to the internet revolution in the sort of mid to late 90s. It's very exciting stuff. Just going back to what you were saying earlier on, what do you think is the sort of fundamental appeal of this multi-thematic investing that you talk about? Because is it just the fact that, you know, gosh, there's so many themes out there. I don't know which one I should be invested in. Here's my money. You invest in the ones that you think are gonna do well. Is it as simple as that, or is there more to it?
I think there is that for sure. There is also a bit of, even if I choose a theme and let's say, okay, AI seems obvious, I want to go into AI right now, you're still going to have to choose between maybe 5-6 ETF, 10 funds. Which one do you choose? There is no benchmark, so it's very hard to compare. There is no real peer group, right? You can't go to Morningstar, for example, and look at the AI peer group. That does not exist. So the selection of strategy is also quite difficult, if we're honest. But also, so I think this difficulty of it around the investment itself is a big part, and being able to delegate that is very important. But also, there is also the number of lines in the portfolio that is really important. I don't know you, but I don't really enjoy having 50 or 60 different lines in my portfolio. And if I want to do thematics, it's really hard to say I'm going to choose five themes. You're probably going to end up more between the 10 to 15 themes, right? So that would be already 15 lines just in the thematic space. That would make the portfolio quite cumbersome, right? So I think that also plays a role. So I think it's a combination of all of this that makes multi-thematics interesting.
And can you tell us a little bit more about how WisdomTree itself goes about designing a multi-thematic product?
Yeah, so that it's an interesting question, because when we discuss with clients, right, the multi-thematic idea almost comes first, right, compared to the single theme, right? And investors are going to say, well, I mean, in some way, why don't you have one, right? And as I said, we launched 11 thematic product in WisdomTree at WisdomTree. Megatrend was the latest one. So why so late? And the answer is because it's quite difficult, because the investor is delegating a lot of the decision to the manager. So the manager needs to have done a lot of research to be able to take those decisions in a way that makes sense, right? So in our case, it took us years of research, 2 white papers, to even feel comfortable saying, okay, we can now do this properly. And when it comes to designing the strategy, the big question is, what are you trying to achieve, right? What you're trying to achieve with thematics is, first and foremost, to invest in growth, right? You're investing into the company of the future. You're investing into the themes that are going to drive growth in the future. So it's about growth, right? That's very clear. But then, how do you want to access this growth? The first question in some way you want to ask yourself is, are you trying to access growth through existing megacaps or to future megacaps, right? Are you buying the companies that are already really big, or are you buying the companies that have the potential to be very big 10 years from now? We decided that we wanted to be in the second camp, which is to buy the companies that could be very big in 10 years from now, and therefore to minimize as much as possible the overlap with the big mega cap that you have in mind. So the overlap with Nasdaq is going to be very minimal, because we think thematics is about buying the winners of tomorrow, not the winners of today, right? So that's a very important decision when it comes to doing the strategy itself. The second decision you want to, it's not really a decision, but the balance you need to find is between the diversification, because you want a portfolio that is diversified between different themes and inside each theme different companies, but also the fact that you want to have a growth product that is going to be able to grow fast. So if you're too diversified, you may dilute your growth exposure, right? And so that's something that is very, very hard to achieve in thematics, because it's when you're buying a theme, right? It is too early usually to be able to know who is going to be the winner. But in equity, there is a winner takes all type behavior, right? Like, so you need to find this balance. The way we like to explain this is to say, okay, let's say you're in the late 90s, right? You're seeing the internet. So the internet, as you were saying, is very similar to what we're seeing in AI right now. So there is this feel that this is the next big thing. It's going to drive growth. It's going to probably create new giants, right? But you're in 1998. You being saying, I'm going to allocate 5, 10% of my portfolio to the internet is already quite forward thinking, right? But are you really able to choose between Yahoo, Lycos, or Amazon at the time, right? And the answer is no, it's too early. You don't know who is going to win. Like Yahoo could have really could have won that race, right? It happens that Amazon won it, but and Google won it, but it could have been different. So you want to say, okay, I need to invest into those internet stocks. So you do want to overweight the Amazon, the Yahoos compared to other companies that were there at the time. But at the same time, you don't want to have to make the hard choice between Yahoo and Amazon, right? It doesn't really matter if you have both, because they are going, one of them is going to do 30, 40x, right? So that's this balance that is quite difficult to achieve and that we spent a lot of time designing the strategy around. And I realize I haven't answered your question about how we do it yet, but I think understanding what you try to achieve is really key, because you can do it in many, many different ways, but you need to do it in a way that makes sense for what you're trying to achieve.
Understood. Just, I mean, in terms of the wider ETF industry, are there some themes that you think the ETF sector is kind of overweight on at the moment?
So if you look at the products that are available, right? Yeah, there are some themes where you have many, many, many choices, and you have some themes where you don't have many choices. And yeah, so I don't think looking at the number of products available is a good way to allocate assets, right? Mm. But it's interesting to see what exists, though, to be able to do the portfolio construction.
And from the perspective of someone who's looking at, you know, building a multi-thematic strategy, how should they go about going through the sort of massive universe of ETFs out there? Because even from a European perspective, there's a lot more ETFs on the market now, a lot more specialist ETFs than there were even 5 years ago.
Yeah. So I think the first step is to know what exists, which is why a few years back we decided to create this classification, is because putting structure around those 2,000 products is very helpful, because moving from 2,000 products to 45 themes, even if 45 themes is a big number, it's a lot more manageable than 2,000, right? So having the classification is very helpful to make sense of the space. But then with 45 themes is what you could invest in. It doesn't mean that at WisdomTree we think all of those themes are relevant, right? So when we do the multi-thematic strategy, the first stage for us, and maybe that will answer your earlier question, but like the way we do it, instead of doing it bottom-up by picking stocks, we do it top-down. And we pick theme first, right? So we look at those 45 themes and we say, okay, which theme do we want in the portfolio? And the way we decided to do this is using three main indicators. One is our conviction in the theme, and I'll explain what conviction means. Two is the diversification potential of the theme. And three is the alignment to the UN Sustainable Development Goals, right? So alignment to UN Sustainable Development Goal, I think it's obvious. The way to do it mathematically is a bit tricky, but from what it means, it's clear. The diversification, why it's important is because if you think about how we split equities, right? If you think about MSCI, all country world. When you split equities by country, the countries are diversified, right? Like, yes, the US is not moving like Germany. But it's not if you wanted to create diversification, it's not the best way. Sectors is a bit better, right? There is more diversification between, for example, energy and tech than there is between, I don't know, US and Germany, right? Or Germany and France. In fact, there is even more diversification when you split by theme. There is more diversification between AI and clean energy, for example, than there is between energy and tech on average. So there is a lot of diversification you can get by mixing themes. But at the same time, if you only pick themes that are very similar, you're not going to get that. If you say, I'm going to do a multi-thematic, but the theme you picked are battery, clean energy, circular economy, then you're not getting the full potential. So we use a quantitative technique to basically figure out which are the themes that are the most different. And that's also going to be a criteria for selecting themes. We want to make sure we pick themes across the full spectrum. And then I mentioned conviction. Conviction is conviction in the theme, right? First, the long-term potential of the theme, but also its conviction in the fact that it is possible to do a basket properly. We think that some themes are too early to be able to do with listed stock. If you think about Metaverse, for example, there isn't, I don't think there is any company that is really pure play Metaverse right now in listed markets, right? So we would struggle to do a proper basket for Metaverse. So that means it's low conviction from the replication point of view in some way. You have some themes that we think have a bit run out. If you think about, I don't know, nanotech, for example. That has a bit run out. So that's all of those criteria we take into account to what we call conviction. But basically, it's about this long-term potential and can we do it? Once you put all of those three things together, conviction, diversification, and alignment to UN Sustainable Development Goals, then you can get down to around 15 themes quite comfortably. And that's would be what I call the first layer of the investment process for the multi-thematics, because it allows you to say, okay, now I know what my universe is. It's those 15, or right now we have 14 themes, but we do this every year, so it could be 16 next year, but around 14, 15 themes that are in the ETF and that are spread across the board. We have... sorry, I can't remember. We have... seven themes in tech. We have four themes in green tech, and we have three themes that are more in demographic and social shift. So you see how it's split.
And how can you just say a little bit more about how you manage risk when you're building those portfolios? Because obviously you can. I mean, I'm just even just thinking about concentration risk could emerge when you're doing that. But there may be others as well.
Yeah. So that I think. That's a very good question. It's very easy to be too concentrated into single names, for example. You know some thematics in the market that have 20-25% in Nvidia, for example, which we think is too concentrated. But in our case, the risk is spread out because of these three layers of in the investment process that we use. So the first layer I discussed, which is the theme selection. The second layer is the tactical allocation to the theme, right? So the idea is that we start from a strategic weight for the 14 themes, which are basically 15% in 50% in tech, 40% in green tech, 10% in demographic and social shift, and then the different themes are equal weight inside each of those three boxes. But then we have a tactical overlay, which we run quarterly, where every quarter, we are going to overweight or underweight themes compared to their strategic weight, depending of momentum. Right. The idea is to say if a theme is in a positive cycle, right, like AI or semiconductors right now, you want to overweight them. If you have a theme which is in a vicious cycle a little bit, like the green themes are right now, then you would want to underweight them. That's something that adds a lot of value long term, but it's something that also requires we've done a lot of research around to decide how to do this tactical overlay, because the question is, how do you time thematics, right? Like, you want to go overweight cloud in 2020, you want to go overweight AI in 2023. How do you do this? And a lot of the discussion very often are around fundamentals, like, is it cheap? Is it expensive? Is cloud too expensive now? Should I come out? And we think that the valuation or the fundamentals is not the right way to use and to time thematics, because if you look at the way they behave through waves, right? And those waves, they are very often triggered externally. They're not triggered by something that happens in those companies. They are triggered by something that happens outside. So COVID was a trigger for cloud, right, in 2020. So Zoom gained a lot in performance, not because of the fundamental of Zoom, but because it has the right technology for the right moment, right? If you look at AI and semiconductors and the Nvidia performance the last 18 months, it's all triggered by ChatGPT being launched by OpenAI. So again, nothing to do with Nvidia. So Momentum is a nice way to catch those external triggers because you can get on the train relatively quickly, and when the wave turns, you can come out relatively quickly as well. So having this tactical overlay is a nice way to manage the risk, as you were saying, starting from a very diversified portfolio of 14 themes, almost equal weight, but then getting a little bit higher into the themes that are doing well, a little bit less in the themes that are not doing well. Now, again, the risk management is the key, and we don't say risk management, we say diversification, but for example, we do not come out of a themes fully, right? When we underweight the themes, we underweight it down to 50% of its strategic weight, because you never know when the next ChatGPT will be launched, right? So when it comes to risk management, we don't want to take decisions that are too black and white. We prefer to stay a bit more in the gray. So we don't remove themes, we just underweight them, for example. That's one idea.
So nothing's ever completely off the table, basically.
No, exactly, yeah.
When you're looking at risk management, particularly, with ETFs, are you aware of what some other fund managers have been talking to me about recently, which is a little bit more concentration risk in the US stock market, particularly around Magnificent Seven stocks, which are accounting for a bigger and bigger and bigger slice of the overall market cap? And if you're looking at multiple themes, presumably some of those guys are going to keep cropping up across those as well. So that's got to be something you've got to be aware of.
So it's definitely something you need to be aware of. It's also something you need to be aware of in the context of a multi-thematics, because the multi-thematics is very often going to be a satellite to in a portfolio. So the Magnificent Seven will already be in the portfolio through the core equity exposure. So do you really want to add to that further? And that's why at the beginning I was saying when we set out to do the multi-thematic, the idea was not to add to those existing mega caps, right? And to design a portfolio which is going to basically be diversified and differentiated from classic markets like MSCI World or MSCI Country World, but also NASDAQ. And so currently in our multi-thematic strategy, we have 3.5% of Magnificent Seven. All of them together is 3.5%. So very, very small weight, right? And why? It's because of the third layer in our investment process. The third layer in our investment process is the stock selection, right? I described how we select those theme, how we weight the theme. Now, once you weighted the theme, I don't know, for example, AI is 12%, semiconductors is 11%, and so on, right? You still need to buy stocks to represent the theme, right? And here we use all of the research and all the development we've done for our single theme strategies that we wrapped into the multi-thematic strategies. But the philosophy we have adopted for single themes is to focus on expert-driven selected companies that are pure players and that are differentiated to the NASDAQ 100 and to the market, right? What does that mean? Is that we focus on companies that are mainly focused on the theme. So not companies that are doing many, many things, but mostly companies that are doing only this or mostly this. We use and we partner with external experts in the theme to help us do this selection of the companies that are the most exposed to the theme, that are doing the most interesting thing in the theme. And then we build a portfolio which is therefore pure play, which is expert driven, and which is also very differentiated versus markets and NASDAQ, but also differentiated between themes, right? Because we always tend to talk about how much overlap do you have with the NASDAQ? But a very interesting question also is how much overlap does your AI basket has with your cloud basket? Because in the multi-thematic, you don't want to be in the situation that you were describing, where you have 10% of NVIDIA in AI, 10% of NVIDIA in semiconductors, 10% of NVIDIA in batteries or whatever, and so on. Right. So having differentiated baskets is really important when you put the multi-thematic together to keep the benefit of diversification, to keep the benefits of differentiation with the core equity exposure. But the only way to do that is to have differentiated pure play sub-baskets for each theme. And that's where we think the philosophy we apply makes sense, is because we have these experts that are different for each theme that help us define the investment universe for each theme by focusing on the pure players in that universe and basically build those sub-portfolios. And when it comes to risk management in the stock selection, it's important to mention as well, we don't want to be overly selective between companies that are very relevant to the theme, right? Of course, if you have a company which has 10% of revenue in AI and one company that have 50% revenue to AI, we will discard the one that has 10% exposure because we want to be pure play. But if you have two companies that have 50% exposure to AI, we'll keep both, right? We are not going to start thinking about, oh, but this one may win or this one may win. It's too difficult, right? Which is why we have 580 stocks in those ETF. So it can sound a lot, right? But if you think about its 14 themes, right? Then it's only 50 stock per theme, right? And because there is very little overlap between the different themes, in our case, it's really basically 45 unique stock per theme. And if you think about it like that, is 45 stock a lot for AI? I'm not sure, because if you do need to go down to 10 or 15, you're going to be too selective. You're not going to be able to make that decision properly without taking chances, right? And so that's why we are more comfortable with our 45 per themes, let's say. But at the same time, as I said, it's 588 stock, yes. But the overlap with the Nasdaq is only 16-17%. The overlap with MSCI All Country World is also only 16-17%. The weight in the Magnificent Seven is only 3.5. So it's still a very different portfolio from the market. The active share is still very, very high. It's just a completely different way to select the stocks.
And it does sound to me that you're certainly putting a lot of thought and energy into this thematic. Thematic story, multi-thematic story, I should say. I think it's actually a really interesting subject. Sadly, we're running out of time. I could stay on for another half an hour talking about this. But thank you very much indeed for your time today, Pierre. That's been really fascinating.
Thank you, Stuart.
You've been listening to the Armchair Trader podcast. Make sure you visit our website, www.thearmchairtrader.com, for your daily dose of financial markets news, and sign up to our free newsletter there.